The Falcon 9 has a successful test firing. The ISS could remain in service till 2028. And Space Florida may proceed at Cape Canaveral. This is AeroNews. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, March 15, 2010. SpaceX reports its second attempted test firing of the Falcon 9 rocket at Cape Canaveral was successful on Saturday. A test last Tuesday was aborted at T-minus 2 seconds when a software glitch resulted in failure of a control valve on the ground to release pressurized helium used to spin up the first stage engine turbopumps. SpaceX founder and CEO Elon Musk described the 3.5-second test firing as analogous to an airplane's pre-takeoff run-up. Quote, "That gives the rocket a nice final shakedown. We will then double-check everything to make sure everything's okay after that short static fire. If it's looking good, then we launch soon thereafter," unquote. The scheduled demonstration flight of the Falcon 9 is expected as soon as April 12th. The mission is intended to demonstrate a successful orbital insertion of SpaceX's Dragon spacecraft, which would clear the way for an attempted docking with the International Space Station on a subsequent flight. At a meeting last week, representatives of the nations which are partners in the operation of the ISS concluded that there are no technical reasons why the station's mission cannot be extended from the current planning horizon of 2015 through 2020 and maybe through 2028. Space agency reps from Canada, Europe, Japan, Russia, and the U.S. were meeting in Tokyo. They concluded that while extending the life of the station will bring great opportunities, it will also require that every efficiency be found in its operations, including cost-effective transport for cargo and crews. Space Florida said Friday that it has secured real property licenses for Space Launch Complexes 46 and 36 at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station. As a result, the 45th Space Wing now grants Space Florida full rights to proceed with construction and refurbishment work at either launch location. Space Florida is now free to work with the FAA to conduct due diligence required for a launch site operator's license for each complex, allowing their use for commercial space launches. The last actual launches came in 1999 for Complex 46 and 2005 at Complex 36. Up next on ANN, AirTrek wins legal fees from the FAA again. American Airlines faces fines for maintenance issues. And Flight Design debuts the CTLS Light. You're listening to AeroNews.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 15th. I'm Paul Platt. AirTrek Incorporated, a Florida-based air ambulance operator, has prevailed again against the FAA. The agency issued an emergency order revoking AirTrek's air carrier certificate in June of 2008. By the fourth day of a subsequent administrative law hearing, the FAA had withdrawn 38 factual allegations and 14 allegations of regulatory violations without explanation. Eventually, on August 20th of last year, the FAA returned AirTrek's original air carrier certificate. AirTrek asked an administrative law judge to order the FAA to cover more than $120,000 of the company's attorney's fees and expenses under the Equal Access to Justice Act. That petition was granted, but the FAA appealed to the NTSB. Now, the NTSB has upheld the original award and ordered the FAA to pay an additional $1,800 to cover legal costs related to the appeal. The board found the FAA administrator, quote, should not have proceeded to a hearing on allegations of wrongdoing that he was not prepared to prove, and that the administrator did not have a reasonable basis for proceeding on the alleged regulatory violations that he voluntarily dismissed during the hearing, unquote. The NTSB also found the FAA refused to withdraw elements of the complaint until it, quote, became painfully clear that the administrator did not have sufficient evidence to establish its case as to most of the allegations, unquote. AirTrek co-owner Dana Carr says his company was grounded for 15 months and lost millions of dollars. Quote, however, now that AirTrek is back in full operation and the NTSB has affirmed the award of attorney's fees, we feel somewhat vindicated from this horrible nightmare. Prior to the revocation order, AirTrek had been in operation for 30 years with no violation history, unquote. The FAA has proposed fining American Airlines $787,500 for maintenance discrepancies. The biggest of the three charges is one which alleges an MD-82 was returned to service with a defective central air data computer by company mechanics, who deferred fixing it by noting the auto throttles were inoperative. The FAA says the airliner's minimum equipment list does not allow such a deferral. The FAA says the violations all occurred between March of 2008 and May of 2009. American has 30 days to respond. If you've heard people complain about the price of new LSAs in a down economy, well, apparently so has the segment's market share leader. Flight Design has introduced a new version of its CTLS composite airplane, which substitutes a 7-inch Dynon PFD and mechanical engine instruments for the Garmin 496, features strategic lightening of non-structural parts of the airframe, and comes in at 50 pounds and $20,000 lighter than the original. Flight Design CEO Matthias Betsch says the new CTLS Light, spelled I-T-E, is based on the European CTLS Light, spelled I-G-H-T. The company says part of the price reduction comes through a limited set of options, but the CTLS Light will offer the Garmin 696, a night flying package, leather seats, and a few other choices as optional upgrades. There was no MSRP specified for the Light on the company's website as of our deadline. Find out more at flightdesignusa.com. Still ahead, Al-Qaeda gets internet savvy. Abdulmutallab could not have brought down Flight 253. And a handheld ultrasound camera gets a test by Bell Helicopter. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 15th. I'm Paul Plack. Defense Department officials last week briefed the U.S. Senate on Al-Qaeda's recruitment efforts on the Internet, saying the use of the web to identify and train recruits is how Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab went from student to alleged underpants bomber in a period of just a few weeks. Gary Reed, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Operations and Combating Terrorism, told the Senate Armed Service Subcommittee on Emerging Threats and Capabilities Wednesday, quote, enabled by 21st century technology, extremists have optimized the use of internet chat rooms, websites, and email chains to spread their virulent messages and reach a global audience of potential recruits. It is this highly evolved radicalization process that enabled Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula to make contact with a wealthy Nigerian student living in London, recruit, train, and equip him in the remote tribal regions of Yemen, position him in the Netherlands, and ultimately dispatch him on a suicide mission to the United States, all within a period of weeks. By contrast, the 9/11 operation took about 2.5 years to develop from the time Osama bin Laden approved it in April 1999, unquote. Reid said the DoD works with international partners to improve their security capabilities and added, quote, as Secretary Gates has said many times, we cannot capture or kill our way to victory in war against Al-Qaeda and its affiliates, unquote. The Discovery Channel last week aired a documentary on that Christmas Day bombing attempt, in which the BBC attempted to simulate the effect of the makeshift bomb Abdulmutallab is accused of trying to set off on Northwest Flight 253. In the program, which was titled How Safe Are Our Skies, producers detonated a PETN explosive they say was identical to the one carried by Abdulmutallab inside the fuselage of a decommissioned 747 and in the same seat position within the aircraft. Video of the test shows distortion of the aluminum skin of the aircraft. An expert employed by the producers says Abdulmutallab and the passenger next to him, and possibly a few others, would have been killed and many eardrums ruptured, but there would have been no sudden depressurization of the plane. The program further speculates that the composite materials used in the fuselage of the Airbus A320 that was used for the actual Flight 253 would, in fact, have handled the forces even better than the aluminum 747 that was used in the dramatization. Composites offer undeniable advantages in aircraft construction. But how do you inspect these materials as they age? So far, one process which has become a leading candidate is ultrasound inspection. Bell Helicopter is undertaking a joint program with the FAA to evaluate ultrasonic techniques, and Imperium Incorporated announced last week that its Acousticam I-600 will be one of the technologies tested. Jeffrey Nissen, program manager and principal investigator for the R&D project at Bell Helicopter, says the device, quote, may provide a solution to rapid inspection of composite components for damage and manufacturing flaws. We have a good relationship with Imperium and are looking forward to working together, unquote. The I-600 is described as a small, rugged, handheld portable ultrasound camera able to instantly spot problems developing in composite structures. The FAA is funding the research out of recognition that its inspectors will need better non-destructive test methods for composites. And finally today, the TSA confirmed on Friday that the agent who left his post unattended January 5th at Newark Liberty International Airport, allowing a Chinese man to duck under a rope barrier to a secure area to say goodbye to his girlfriend, will remain with the agency. NJ.com reports that the agent, identified by some media sources as Ruben Hernandez of Newark, was back on the job Saturday. TSA spokeswoman Ann Davis says the agency will consider a menu of disciplinary options, but confirmed that the agent, who's essentially had time off with pay the last 2 months, was scheduled to be back on the job Saturday. On Tuesday of last week, 28-year-old Chinese national Haisong Zhang pleaded guilty to defiant trespass and was ordered to pay a $500 fine, another $158 in court costs, and to perform 100 hours of community service. The American Federation of Government Employees is trying to win the right to unionize TSA workers. I think it's fair to ask, if you can screw up and enjoy 2 months off with pay without a union, why would you want to pay dues? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves says if elite baseball players need spring training to be ready for the season, maybe pilots do too. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.